Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is The Rose. Welcome back to Colombo Chronicles. It's Wednesday, and we're here for you from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's over on the West Coast in the United States of America. So wherever you are in the world, be sure to mark your time in your area and your country. And I want to thank you from all over the world for listening to my radio podcast with famous authors and experts. And they have topics on just about anything that you may be interested in human interest. So if you're interested in love, if you're interested in romance, if you're interested in health, if you're interested in building a business, if you're interested in the mafia, or you're interested in corruption, the Constitution, we have them. We have these experts and authors on every week with their specific topic and their specific books. And today we're going to be welcoming a wonderful person. Her name is Robin Blakely. That's B-L-A-K-E-L-Y, if you want to Google her name. She is an author, and she's a top business coach. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about her in just a little while. She'll be with us in about 10 minutes. And so we will be teaching you and educating you and entertaining you. If you are an entrepreneur, you own a business, or you want to own a business, and you're a one-person business owner, on how to become successful. So that's what Robin Blakely is going to share with us today from her new book, Six Hats. Isn't that a cute name? Six Hats, the Inside Out Strategy for the One-Person Business to Find Success. Her other book is Crossing the Troll Bridge. So if you want to look that up as well, you can Google it. It's an illustrated marketing guide for artists and writers by Robin Blakely and artist Frank Robert Dixon. So on that note, let's take a little break, and I'll come back and tell you a little bit about what's happening around the world.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Colombo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics, from politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up, Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc, Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So from Rose Colombo's home on the Colombo Chronicles Live to your home, Colombo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up to Colombo Chronicles Live. We're going to take a little time here to see what's happening around the world, because there certainly is a lot happening around the world, some good, some bad, some not so good. And we're going to see exactly what is going on in the latest and most intriguing of topics. For example, President Trump upgrades Martin Luther King's birthplace to a national historic park. That is fantastic. That is such good news. So we can start a day off with very good news. Martin Luther King, of course, is a famous figure who did so much for our country, to unite our country and bring black Americans and white Americans together. And so we would all be the United States of America and not the divided states of America. And we truly were for a long time until about 2009 when things began to change. And then there is a petition that is circulating around the nation, and it says, should Representative Omar be expelled from Congress for her anti-Semitism? She has been in the news a lot here in America because of her negative comments against Israel and the Jews. And a lot of people are not happy with those comments. So there are thousands and thousands of people signing a petition to have her expelled from Congress. President Trump says Congress must get together and immediately eliminate the loopholes at the border. If no action, border or large sections of the border will close. This is a national emergency. It is a national emergency because it is not only affecting the security at the borders, but when you have tens of thousands of foreigners who are unidentified coming from third world nations, socialist nations, communist nations, foreign enemy nations, and we have no idea who they are, why they're coming here, what their purpose is, what their mission is, and what they intend to do to America or Americans, or if they are willing to assimilate, wanting to assimilate as Americans and earn their way to citizenship. And if they are willing and sincere about pledging their allegiance to the United States Constitution and to the American way of life. We have a lot of foreigners in our country, millions who are unidentified, non-vetted, and they're living among us, and among them are criminals and nice people. And then there are jihadists and nice people. Then there are terrorists and nice people. And then there are real refugees, and then there are fake refugees. There are real asylum seekers, and then there are fake asylum seekers. What do I mean by fake asylum seekers and fake refugees? They do not meet the standard of the law that defines a refugee or an asylum seeker. A refugee and asylum seeker are persons from foreign nations who are supposed to remain in the first safe nation they land in, which would be Mexico. But everyone wants to come into America. Well, we can't take in the world's poor, or we will all be poor and unruly without laws, and we'll be rogue. Just like Venezuela or any of the other socialist third world nations or communist nations. And so we want to remain the United States of America. We want to know who we are. We want our identity. We want the American way of life. We want our United States Constitution to remain intact. And we want our borders secured. It's very, very, very simple. But fake refugees, fake asylum seekers come to America and through Mexico or Canada, or they were flown in by the former president in the night without the knowledge of the American people. that tens of thousands were being flown into our country. And many of them are not coming into the USA to assimilate or to be Americans. One freshman congressman in the Democratic Party from a foreign nation stated, who's a refugee, stated that she will never assimilate as an American. While U.S. citizenship requires assimilation and allegiance to the United States Constitution. So that should be reason enough to expel and deport that person. Fake refugees and fake asylum seekers are entering into the USA with a fake intent of becoming American, assimilating, and pledging their allegiance to the U.S. Constitution, but in reality, they are coming to impose, they are not to impose their tyrannical laws on America. And the definition of a legal refugee and a legal asylum seeker is someone fleeing tyrannical laws to come to a safe foreign nation and assimilate and not impose their foreign ideologies or foreign laws on the United States of America. So there's a huge difference in why we must be very careful about who enters and who doesn't enter into the USA, and that's why we have ports of entry, and that's why we have Border Patrol, ICE, and sheriffs who are supposed to be able to inspect them, because inspections are required by the law, constitutional law, in fact. So it's important that we follow the rule of law and not bend the rule of law for foreign nations. And so we welcome immigrants, of course. We just want them to come through legally through our ports of entry and go through the required inspections so they can be identified and then come into our country legally. That's all we're asking, like every other country in the world. I don't think that's too much to ask. But on that note, we'll take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts. So don't touch that dial.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right, everyone. Listen up, because now we're going to enter into the world of authors and experts. And today we have a fabulous author and an expert. And her name is Robin Blakely. She's a top business coach and a member of the Forbes Coaches Council. Robin Blakely has an extensive background in strategic planning and business development. She is the president of Creative Center of America. She writes business books that help make your professional dreams happen faster. And she wrote the great book, Six Hats, The Inside-Out Strategy for the One-Person Business to Find Success. The answers that writers, artists, and small business talents need to survive and thrive as a one-person business. This is written by a caring coach. This ultimate field guide delivers powerful strategies to overcome universal hat-juggling challenges, a business breakthrough for creative thinkers and high achievers with professional dreams just like you. So why don't we just get started, because I know you're anxious to learn more about your business. So let's speak to the expert, Robin Blakely. Hi, Robin. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thanks so much for having me on today.
You're so welcome. Welcome to Columbo Chronicles Live. Every week we have Authors and Experts Corner, and today is exciting because there's so many people out there in the world who really and truly think about and dream about owning their own business, don't know how to get started, maybe don't have the funding, don't know exactly what to do. So it's perfect that you're here to talk to us about your book, Six Hats. And so my first question to you is, what about the people out there, because the population is older now, who believe they're too old to follow their dream?
Well, I want to be the first one to tell them that they're not too old. The experience that you've had across time, you need to rethink about it. You need to think, what kind of experiences have I had? What kinds of value can I bring to a new platform? So there's plenty of room and space and need for people with experience. You may want to rethink, you know, you may have to rethink how to repackage yourself, but that experience is very valuable. And your ability to, you know, face the world and go out there and do, you know, follow that dream and do the things that you're wanting to do, it needs to be repackaged into today's marketplace. But the experience that you have is truly, truly valuable. You're never too old.
Well, that's a philosophy I believe in. and so, how would someone get started when they're, you know, very, very busy with their everyday life just trying to make ends meet?
Well, there's several things that I would want to think about. If you're going into that third chapter, you know, you've already had a career of some type, and you're now at a place where maybe you're facing retirement, or something has happened that's causing you to want to change and shift directions. What I really want to think about with you is what has been calling to you? What has been a talent that you have that you in some way haven't been able to develop? This would be the moment in time to reevaluate the past, decide the parts that you really enjoyed the most, and look at them freshly. You know, look at things with a new eye to how can I reconfigure this to something that I want to do from here on. And when that's the first thing, is kind of identifying what your talents are and how those would be converted into services. A lot of times folks are looking at their background and saying, well, I just have to do more of the same. What I'm suggesting is look at your background, pick out the jewels, the parts that are really exciting to you, and let's put those on the table and reconfigure what the future can look like. Everybody has 24 hours in the day to apply to their dream, and you need to determine what is the dream, what part will you have to give up to, you know, to move forward with the parts that you want to grab onto.
Yes, and, you know, everyone talks about this, about the left brain, right brain thing in business. What does that mean to the average person?
Well, I think that, you know, we always hear about left brain, right brain, and that the left brain is very methodical and very mathematical. And from a science point of view, this isn't kind of mythical. It isn't really that your brain is lighting up when you do math only on that side of your brain. But conceptually, it is true. You know, there is going to be, you're going to be liking math more. Some people like math and some people hate it. Some people have very strongly developed intuition, and others people are very literal minded. So left brain is typically thinking about math and strategy and science, the science behind stuff. The right brain is typically thinking about you know, music and ideas and imagination and intuition. You're going to be you're going to kind of be steered toward one way or the other. But in business, the six hats that we talk about, there are many hats that you can wear, but you're going to have to think about a few hats from both sides of that left brain, right brain areas. So in in the six hat process, what we talk about is there is a creative hat with all the big ideas. It's very important. We need to value it. But there are also, to offset that, bookkeeping. You know, that's another hat that you have to. and those two fight. And when you're the one person wearing both of these hats, what it feels like to you is that you've got this great idea, and immediately the next thought is, where's the money going to come from and how much time do you have? And those are the other, that's the bookkeeping hat and the traffic hat, the time organization hat, fighting with that creative side of you. And that's normal.
Yeah, I would think most people go through that issue right there, you know, and maybe even stifles them somewhat when they think about money. And
that's right.
So I'm sure you have a great strategy on how to overcome that. So is it true that even bad publicity is good publicity?
Well, I don't believe that. I think that you want to be strategic with your publicity and get a clear message out that's good. You can overcome bad publicity, but I don't think that you're trying to get on stage in front of people however you can. I think it should be strategic. I think that you should be, you know, clear on who you are and what you're all about, and, you know, really target the promotional situation with care. I think you can certainly overcome bad publicity, but I am not someone who wants to, you know, shock people and just so you can get your name out. I don't agree with that.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. So then can you tell us some of the different hats that we need in order to be successful?
Sure. I think that, you know, one of the things when someone's first starting out and later when they're actually in the field that they're wanting to do, if when they're out there, there's a moment. That big moment is when you're saying, I am wearing so many hats, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do next. You know, and that is common and normal. So there's this moment where everyone is saying, wow, I sure wear a lot of hats. I'm not sure what to do. And with the six hats, what we help people understand is there are six hats that you need to pull out of that big collection and really focus on. And those six hats are your creative hat, your bookkeeping hat, your traffic hat, traffic being time organization. And then there's PR, marketing, and sales. And the idea behind this is to, even if you're a one-person show and there's no one else helping you, you want to have a hat that has space and time devoted to it, as if they were people you were hiring. You know, if you were hiring someone, if you were hiring six people today, you wouldn't ask them all to sit in the same chair and use the same piece of paper and file everything in one big pile on the left side of the desk. You would make sure they had the space and the tools and the, you know, direction to do the work properly. And that's one of the things that we help people think about. They're by themselves. You still need to do that. You still need to have the time, the space, and the direction for those areas in your work.
Right. So then part of your strategy would also be time management. Is that true?
That is true. There is, one of the hats is really about time management. So we try to help you think about you're going to have goals, and the goals have to have definition with a calendar. So you're going to have, you know, saying I'm going to do this sometime when I can is not going to make it happen. So what we want to be sure of is that we set up some specific goals and put them on a calendar with a deadline. Some people's skill sets are not very good about creating the deadlines. They can keep them, but they aren't very good about creating them. Other people can create them, and they're not very good at keeping them. So, you know, that's where there's a struggle, with every business owner. How are they going to do this? We help them figure out which one's your skill set. If you can't figure out when the deadlines need to be made, we'll help you get them on the calendar. That's the first step, no matter what, getting some deadlines on the calendar.
So if a person is working from home as a one-person team of six hats, mm-hmm. then and they're not used to being time using time management, and, you know, they used to getting up and taking their time and doing this and doing that. How can they structure their mind to actually take that business seriously?
Well, I think that's a very good question about, you know, taking it seriously. If you're wanting and needing to actually make money, you're going to have some structure in the business realm. Now, with creative people, you know, the structure is not always the thing that they love so much. It's almost the enemy. But structure will really help them move forward. And the kind of structure that we're talking about is, you know, in a creative realm, a writer or an artist typically thinks of their craft as something that they just have to do. You know, I like breathing. You know, I just have to write or I just have to paint. But what we want to help them understand is it needs to be thought of as a business, and the business has certain areas. And if we do these six areas that were, you know, the six areas of the six hats, then it will allow you to scale. So it will allow your business to grow, because those same six hats are what make a huge company work as well. So this is scalable from a one-man show at your desk to being a big company on a block in the city. It's the same six areas that will have to be built. And so if we build them in components that allow them to grow right from the start, you will become more successful. You won't come to a road where you suddenly say, it would be easier for me to do it myself. I can't hire anyone because it's too complicated. That's an issue that a lot of people have soon after they start thriving as a business, that they can't let go of anything because it's all knitted together so, you know, incredibly difficult to pull it apart. Does that make sense?
It does make sense for just about everybody. So is it possible to do everything at once or not?
Well, you're going to have to do part of every. You will have to do a lot of things. Doing everything at once, it is easier if everything is understood what part you're doing. It won't come to you like the six hats gives you some bit of structure so that you know that you have to move things forward a little bit at a time in each one of the areas. So where I think people get upset by the idea of I have to do everything at once, you don't have to walk a million miles in each area. You just have to move each piece a little bit in each area. You know, so every day it's about moving it a little bit, not trying to, you know, go to the moon in every area. But knowing what the six areas are and being able to have the space and the direction and the tools for it is the first big challenge to overcome.
Okay, so on a different area here, what is the big concept between crossing the toll bridge and what does the troll symbolize?
Oh, well, now Crossing the Troll Bridge is an illustrated marketing book, and we have taken that. A lot of artists and writers and other business owners don't like charts, don't like math, you know. And so what we've done is converted this into more of a storyline so that you can really, it might resonate with you what's really happening here. So the troll in this particular storyline is fear. It's what we're afraid of. So a lot of times in the book you'll see that you're the castle on the hill, your audience or your customers are over there in the village, and there's a bridge with a troll under it that stops you from connecting. The bridge, the troll is fear. And a lot of times a business owner or an artist or a writer, whoever that entrepreneur is, they have a lot of fear involved in connecting with their audience. They may think they're not good enough, their product isn't the best, or people won't like them, or things of that nature stop them when they're trying to get to their audience. So we want to confront that right up front, see what those fears are, and resolve them. And so in this book, we're kind of helping you pinpoint how to connect with your audience and how to overcome your own fears and eliminate fears that they might have when they meet you or misperceptions of you.
Yes, I think that's excellent because I think most people have fears in their heads before they take on a new business or try to go out there and promote their business. I think there's a lot of fears, and I think that's excellent because you do have to overcome the fears in order to be successful. So, or it'll stifle you. So how did you start your own business?
Well, you know, like a lot of folks, I started my business when I was when I had small children who, and I went through a divorce, and I needed a business. I needed a job, and I needed to be able to take care of two kids that were GLIO at the time. And so how could I do that? This was part of that reconfiguring your experience and your background and saying, I can't continue to do it the way I was doing it, but I can take the parts that worked and make something new. And that's what I did. I ended up building a business that I was able to be at home, be able to take care of those two kids, and you know, be a single parent and have income. And so that was the start of it. That's been a long time ago, and actually it's been a couple of businesses ago. And the business that I have now is Creative Center of America, and those little kids that, you know, well, were the inspiration behind doing my own business are adults now in their own careers, and it's been a wonderful opportunity to, you know, to maintain my career this way.
Well,
others,
I think that's also
too.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that's inspiration for single moms out there who are struggling and sometimes they don't get their support. I think it's very important to hear that inspiring story because it can happen to them too, is all they have to do is be proactive and read your book, Six Hats, and check your website, Robin Blakely.
Well,
and
thank you.
I think that would be a great idea. And so what do writers need to know about publishing?
Well, there's lots of things that they need to know. This, in my mind, is the best time to be a writer in the history because you can grab a hold of your career, you know, and turn it into a business easier than it's ever been able to be done before. And that's because of the, you know, the independent publishing opportunities that are out there. So you can publish your own work and control it and use your work to either be your books to be marketing tools for your other parts of the services and stuff that you offer, or you can just focus on it as a, you know, like if it's a novel or something like that, you can focus on that book being a product that you are behind. But now authors have that opportunity to really control the business side of what they're doing. And it's just an exciting time. Publishing's really changed in the last, you know, in the last 10 years, specifically in the last 5.
Exactly. And so what do you think about e-publishing? Does that mean that traditional publishing is dead and gone?
It isn't dead and gone. I think that, you know, there's still traditional opportunities. The problem with traditional publishing is that it takes so long to be accepted and to get your work out there. So it'll be about 18 months from the time a publisher tells you, yes, I want to buy this, and it actually is on a shelf. And the other problem is that traditional publishing has is that bookstores are, you know, dwindling. So the e-publishing allows people to buy things online and read them on their phone without going into a store. And it allows you as a author to determine and make your own risk and your own choices about your work and get it out to the market much faster. There's still a need for traditional publishing. There's a very big need for independent publishing. Deciding which way you go is, you know, part of the excitement of being an entrepreneur.
Exactly. And, you know, even though you do send your book out to a publisher who's maybe interested, sometimes they change the book, I understand. So, you know, they edit it. It isn't the same book that you actually wrote.
that
would be so disappointing.
You're absolutely right. You're right. And the other part, I think the big surprise for authors is that when a publisher buys your work, even though you're getting a royalty and so on, you're actually sending that, you know, book into a family of products that is not yours. You know, so how they decide to market it, what the cover looks like, it conforms with their family of products, not so much with yours.
Yes,
so,
that can
you know,
be very disappointing to people, you know, if their book is changed, you know.
Okay.
So Then how do you pick up the pieces and keep moving, let's say, forward after, let's say, a divorce or death of a spouse or the loss of a job, which millions of people face every day?
Well, I think the biggest and most important thing is to, you know, really take a look at yourself. One of the things that we do is help people, you know, really review who are you. And what do you, you know, what assets have you been creating in knowledge and experience and expertise, and how can we reframe that? You know, so I think that the big lesson is a lot of times the motivation is a divorce or, you know, the death of a spouse or something that's, you know, catastrophic that's happened. But at any moment in time, when you have this sense of I've got to do something else, believe in yourself. You know, look inward. See what you have to offer and what you want to do and repackage and get out there in the world with that. Don't think that you have to be, you know, this kind of paper boat on waves that has no direction. You choose your direction. You look at yourself and decide if you know, what do you want to do and what do you want to be and how can you get there from here? And there will be a way.
Where there's a will, there's a way, right?
That's exactly right.
So
that is exactly right.
Well, this was absolutely intriguing and informative and helpful to our listeners and to myself and inspiring. And so now is your time to shine, Robin Blakely, about your book, Six Hats, Crossing the Troll Bridge. So it's your time to shine. You can give out any messages you want, your social media, and how to buy your books and how to contact you.
Oh, well, that's so kind of you. Anyone can go to my website, which is creativecenterofamerica.com, and you can also send me an email at robin@creativecenterofamerica.com. If you want, I can send, you know, if someone reaches out to me, I have some links that I can give you, some free, you know, links to free books. There's an ebook that I have that can be given to you, and there's also a webinar that we can share. So if you put Columbo Chronicles in the subject line, I'll make sure that you get those things for free.
Fantastic. And so would you give us your email address again?
bin@creativecenterofamerica.com.
Perfect. And so are your books available on Amazon by any chance?
They certainly are. You can get those books on Amazon, and you know, if you go to Amazon.com, you'll find Crossing the Troll Bridge, which is an illustrated marketing guide for artists and authors, and Six Hats, which is a small book that explains some strategies about understanding those six hats that you want to focus on if you are in business or if you're, you know, getting ready to think about starting a business. You'll want to see that. I have some other works. PR Therapy is a book that I is available on Amazon as well. And it talks a little bit about how to approach media and be able to, you know, promote yourself when you have something that you're ready to sell.
Perfect. That's wonderful. I'm so glad I asked that question so people have even a wider range of books and information to look forward to Googling and reading about and purchasing. And so we want to thank you so. Oh, pardon? I'm sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. We really are excited about helping folks. And, you know, so please let me know if there's anything that I can send their way.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Robin Blakely, and much more success. You're already a success. She's a wonderful coach to people and inspiration to their success. And hope Six Hats even makes a bigger success so the more people can be helped and succeed in life. So you have a blessed day, and thank you so much for being on Columbo Chronicles Live.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And Robin Blakely has left the building, and be sure to go out and check out her books, Six Hats and Crossing the Toll Bridge and many more, as she stated, because everyone needs some guidance. Everyone needs inspiration. Everyone needs tips and help. Maybe that one little inspiration, that one little tip, or maybe contacting her and seeking out her coaching abilities can help you to succeed in life, especially if you're struggling as a person who's been through divorce or lost their job and you're looking for that something special you could do from home to earn some extra money. We just have to be proactive. And usually, you know, we don't get a big windfall of money coming in our mailbox. So best thing to do is be proactive and just Google this information online and contact Robin Blakely and see if you have something that she can help you with and succeed in your life and change it for the better. So on that note, we're going to take a little break, and then we will be back in just a moment. So don't touch that dial.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
That's right. Be sure to bring your appetite to the Horseshoe Cafe out there in Benson. And if you're on your way to Tucson, if you're on your way to Sierra Vista or Tombstone or any of those areas that cross right there, the Horseshoe, you cannot go wrong. And be sure to say hello to Patty. So let's enter into the world of politics and see what is happening as we leave the world of authors and experts with that inspiring interview with Robin Blakely and her book, Six Hats. That should inspire each of us to do better. We all have some talent. We all have some knowledge about something, and we want to share and can share with the rest of the world, right? And we should share. Well, one of the things I want to share with you is I came across this article. It's by The Advocate, by Tom Sinzi. And interestingly enough, it says 12 countries that will kill you for being LGBT. Well, you know that gays, gay lifestyle, sexual preference was prohibited in the USA on the law books. And then about 1992, the gay rights movement began when the Clintons were in office and continued on to the present time until the Supreme Court changed traditional marriage to same-sex marriage. So all marriages are legal now. So there are 12 countries that will kill you for being LGBT. And it says, call them the Dirty Dozen. They are the 11 countries and one militant extremist political jurisdiction where the death penalty applies to the crime of loving someone of the same sex. Extremist religiosity of primarily the fundamentalist varieties of both Islam and Christianity drive enough legislators, religious leaders, and lay people in these societies to keep their kill the gays laws and cultural practice alive. In America, the Christians don't believe in killing the gays, just to make sure that that is separated from third world nations. We have never believed in killing gay people And that is totally does not include the United States of America. And I doubt it includes Europe or Canada either. Only third world nations where there's extremism. Because in those countries, many of those countries, they kill Christians as well. While data collection is difficult because of the opaqueness of prosecutions in these countries, it's clear that Iran and Saudi Arabia are the two governments most guilty of killing people for being gay. However, the self-proclaimed Islamic State in Iraq and Syria has likely executed more people for being gay or for being accused of being gay than any recognized state has done in recent years. So we're talking about these extremists over in the Middle East and in this article. And they say that even being accused of being gay can lead to a death sentence. And sometimes in those third world countries, it's by mob rule, not by a court of law. International LGBT rights advocate and blogger Colin Stewart has been monitoring the plight of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people around the world for several years. His Erasing 76 Crimes blog keeps a total and a tally of nations that criminalize gay and trans people for their mere existence. Stewart says that he sees both positive and negative trends surrounding acceptance and oppression of LGBT people worldwide. From 2012 to the present, the situation has been fluid, Stewart told the Advocate, referencing the year he retired from a lifelong career in journalism to begin publishing Erasing 76 Crimes. He's hesitant to say things are clearly improving. In fact, in Brunei, they just passed a law that if they accuse you of being gay or committing adultery and you're found guilty, it is a death sentence. So, quote, they're possibly improving with a modest reduction in the number of enforced anti-LGBT laws, unquote, Stewart said. Mozambique repeals its laws, as have tiny Palau, Lesotho, Sao Tome, and Principe. Malawi has a moratorium on enforcement of its law during court deliberations on whether it is constitutional. As he further notes, Uganda's 2014 Jail the Gays law, once billed as a compromise away from an earlier proposed Kill the Gays law that lasted only a few months before it was overturned. The following list of countries around the world where you can be sentenced to death just for being gay was compiled with information from the United States Department of State, Erasing 76 Crimes, and the just-released 2016 edition of the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersex Associations Annual Survey, titled State-Sponsored Homophobia 2016, a World Survey of Sexual Orientation Laws, Criminalization, Protection, and Recognition. And then it says, let's begin with the most egregious. And the article ends there. So ends there because it says there are some graphic photos that may disturb some readers. So I don't want to look at the graphic photos to finish the most egregious countries who mandate death if you are gay, and in some countries, even adultery. In some countries, it's just if women commit adultery, it is a death sentence. And that could be based on accusation only, and Many times those women are buried in sand up to their heads and then stoned to death. So we don't want any of these laws or mandates coming to the USA, as we have millions of unidentified foreigners from around the world in the USA, and some of them are deep-seated in those ideologies where they were born, in their homelands. So we have to be really careful, because remember, in the Bible, John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." And then there are so many wonderful articles that people are reading about how humanity is being provided for by good people as well. And people are reaching out with hands up, giving a hands up lift to people who are down and out and providing for them around the world. So it's not all doom and gloom, but there's not much storytelling about all the random acts of kindness that people are doing around the world. And there are a lot. But there is another article that's disturbing, because this one particular Democratic representative who is a refugee from Somalia, she's constantly in the news for anti-Semitic comments and calling the President of the United States non-human and accusing him of having a dual allegiance to Israel first, then the United States of America, and calling for her people that she speaks to from foreign nations to raise hell, which is her quote, raise hell in America, which is very disturbing, because now she's back in the news after Congress called her out for her anti-Semitic comments. And it says, Ilhan Omar, living in ugly America, is an everyday assault. She also stated that she will never assimilate as an American. So it's difficult for most Americans to wonder why she is representing the United States in the United States Congress. And this is by Jay Greenberg. It says, controversial Democrat Representative Ilhan Omar has blasted, again, President Donald Trump's America during an interview with a Middle Eastern magazine, declaring that living in ugly American society is an everyday assault. Now, these are the reasons that there are millions of Americans who want to remove from the United States Congress. They want to expelled, because these negative comments about America, Americans, the President of the United States military, Israel, the Jews, Christians, etc., are very disturbing to most Americans. And they don't represent, her words do not represent most Americans. The article goes on to say, in an interview for Vogue Arabia that was published Friday, the radical Minnesota lawmaker claims that, quote, every day she is, quote, threatened and, quote, demonized due to the, quote, ugliness that she says is ingrained in the United States populace. So that's what she thinks about Americans and America, and that she is threatened and demonized due to the ugliness of the American people. That is that is stunning. I have never been so insulted in my life. What about you, America? Omar 37 used the interview to criticize the United States and blast its people to the publication's Arabic audience, which is very dangerous indeed to America and the American lives and to the President of the United States, in my opinion. She's accusing President Trump of, quote, tapping into an ugly part of our society and freeing its ugliness, unquote. These are very strong accusations against the President of the United States, against America, and against the American people. And millions of Americans are wondering, what is she doing in the United States Congress, because she is not representing the true United States of America and the true American people? And why is she here? Why doesn't she just retire, resign from Congress, and move back to the country she loves and supports and is loyal to, is the question that most Americans are asking. Throughout the interview, Omar didn't disclose the reason why she chooses to live in the United States after fleeing Somalia and claiming asylum in the United States in the 1990s. Since joining Congress, Omar has ruffled feathers on both sides of the aisle. She is not only ruffled the feathers of the Republican Congress and senators and the President of the United States, but she is also ruffling the feathers of the Democrats, who should be embarrassed and ashamed of not calling her out during the resolution and naming her in that resolution as anti-Semitic, in my opinion. The Somali refugee-turned-Democratic congresswoman is best known for a series of anti-Semitic statements, the article says, in which she stirred up allegations that politicians in Washington, D.C. are being bribed with Jewish money. This is going worldwide, and she's supposed to be representing the United States of America and the American people. Speaking to Vogue Arabia, Omar attempted to blame all of her frustrations with living in America on President Trump. Quote, she said, "It's an everyday assault. Every day, a part of your identity is threatened, demonized, and vilified. Trump is tapping into an ugly part of our society and freeing its ugliness. It's been a challenge to try to figure out how to continue the inclusion, how to show up every day and make sure that people who identified with all the marginalized identities I carry feel represented," unquote, Omar said. She also said it's transitioning from the idea of constantly resisting to insisting in upholding the values we share. I don't see very many values between her values and those of the United States of America and the United States Congress and the United States Americans. Anyway, it says, it's transitioning from the idea of constantly resisting to insisting in upholding the values that we share, that this is a society that was built on the idea that you could start anew, unquote, she added. She's being paid tens of thousands of dollars to be a United States congressional member with our tax dollars. She's getting benefits. She's getting health care. What did she have before she came to America and was elected to the United States Congress? She's also alleged of having committed incest and bigamy, and she's also alleged to have used her donations to her campaign for a divorce lawyer and other personal items, which the FEC is reported to be investigating. Then she says, and what that celebrates is immigrant heritage, unquote. This is very disturbing. Omar and her family immigrated to the United States in 1995 from Somalia as refugees settling in Arlington, Virginia. Now, I told you in the beginning of the show that there are fake refugees and fake asylum seekers, which I coined myself about a year ago. And my definition of a fake refugee and a fake asylum seeker are people coming to the United States of America with false intentions of assimilating as Americans and pledging their allegiance to the United States Constitution and the United States flag, but in reality are committing a fraud on Americans on coming to America to impose their foreign ideologies on the American people and the United States of America. And that, to me, is a fake refugee and a fake asylum seeker, because it does not meet the standards and the definition by America's law books of a refugee or an asylum seeker fleeing from tyrannical laws, but intend to impose them on America. So on that note, I'm going to say God bless you. God bless America. Call your congressman. Let them know what you think. And their phone number is 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. Call today. This is Rose Colombo on Colombo Chronicles Live, signing off.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.